Probably tell that we're preparing for VBS, and I'm going to be preaching from the mountaintops this morning. Now, if you can't see me, because I know some of the, if you're right on the wings, like Joe and Verva over there, you may not be able to see me, so you may want to kind of move more toward the center if you want to see me while I'm up here, if you want to see Dan while he leads the songs. Otherwise, you can stay there and you can just listen and not see anything except for the mountains there, but whatever you want to do there. But we're really looking forward to VBS. That's going to be this coming week, Monday through Friday from 6:30 until 9 o'clock in the evening. And actually this evening, we're going to have the evening service devoted to that and give you a better idea as far as what to look forward to. And I hope that you're praying for VBS and that you're really looking forward to that. Our theme verses, the two main verses for VBS this year is Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. And it says here, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So that's really what we're going to be focusing on this coming week with the children, and also with the adults, the importance of loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and then also loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's what it all comes down to, and that's what we'll be focusing on with the children and with the adults this week. So be praying for that. Be sure to come back this evening if you're able to. For all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. We don't want you to think that we've forgotten about Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. And this evening, after the evening service, we'll be having a special fellowship for the fathers. Everybody's invited, but it's in honor of the fathers. And we've already got sandwiches prepared. But you can bring other things that you'd like to bring to share with the fathers and with everyone else. And that will be a really good time. Now, as we look at our schedule for this week, it's a little bit different because of VBS. So we won't be having either our women's Bible study or our men's Bible study, because we'll be having VBS during that time. And also, we won't be having our Wednesday Bible study and prayer meeting. We'll have our VBS instead. So a few things that are going on that are a little bit different, but it'll be a good week. We're looking forward to that. I want to wish a happy birthday to Lester and Catherine Wyan on the 25th. And it's really neat how that worked out. I believe they were even born in the same hospital, weren't they? On the same day. No, not the same hospital. Well, that's right. Okay, so yeah, that's Sean, my age there, I suppose. But no, they weren't born in hospitals, but they were born on the same day. In the same town. There we go. So that's really neat. And you'll have to ask them sometime as far as how they met and all that. Good stuff. Yesterday, we were planning on having a wedding shower for Stephen and Priscilla, but unfortunately, some things came up and we weren't able to have that. Priscilla's grandmother is not doing well at all. She lives in South Dakota, and she's on the point of death. Now, I called Stephen this morning, and Priscilla's grandmother is still alive, but she isn't doing well by any means. So it's basically kind of like a waiting game right now. So be praying for them. Stephen wanted to thank, you know, everybody for their prayers, because it means a lot during times like this. And it is a difficult time, but her grandmother is a born-again believer, so they do know whenever she passes from this world, she will be in heaven, which that gives you all the hope and the comfort. It makes all the difference in the world. But be sure to keep on praying for Stephen and Priscilla, and sorry for the inconvenience as far as not having the shower yesterday, but we will reschedule that, and we'll let you know when we reschedule that. One other announcement, actually a couple others. Maxine Williams is going to be turning 90 years old here pretty soon, July the 5th. And we're going to have a special birthday fellowship for her. And actually, her daughters are getting this all together. This coming Saturday on June 27th, from 2 until 5 in the afternoon, downstairs in the basement, we'll be having a special time for Maxine to celebrate her 90th birthday. And everybody in the church is invited, and there will be a lot of her other friends here as well. And as you see there at the bottom of the bulletin, come stroll down memory lane, look at old photos, and chat a while. There's going to be finger food, there'll be cake, of course, and if you'd like to bring a card for Maxine, that would be great. But special time there. God has really blessed Maxine during her 90 years. And praise the Lord, for most of those years, she's known the Lord. So that's been a huge blessing. And you're a huge blessing to this church. Another prayer request. Mike Lucas is currently in the hospital. He's at Mercy Hospital in room 531. And apparently his stomach had been giving him problems. And they've done a number of tests. And they're thinking perhaps, they're pretty sure that he has gallstones. And perhaps they may take out the gallbladder, but they aren't sure. He's in room 531 at Mercy. And if you want to give him a call, his phone number there at the hospital is 247-3531. And I'll repeat that for you once you get your pens out. He's in the main Mercy 531. And his phone number there at Mercy is 247-3531. So be sure to be praying for him. And if you're able, drop by and visit him or give him a phone call. And he would really appreciate that. We've been praying as a church body for Mona Ruby's niece. And she just recently had surgery. Mona's niece did. And she would like to say a few words. Mona, what as far as that her current condition? Yeah, and you can use this microphone right here because you probably don't want to come up. No.
Okay, there. I have some praise. My niece had bilateral mastectomy. She had both breasts removed. She's 45 years old. She has an 8-year-old daughter. She's doing real well, and I want to thank you very much for all your prayers for our whole family, because it's been a stressful time. As far as I know, I think they've got all the cancer. She will be going through chemotherapy just to make sure that they kill any cells that might be loose. As far as they can tell, it didn't go into her lymph glands. So we're praising the Lord for that. She doesn't have a job. She has some help over there, but I'm kind of working extra hours to get money together to send to her. Financially, she's going to be in a bind here pretty soon. So pray for that situation also. Thank you for your prayers.
A number of things that we can be praying for as a church body, and that's, it's great whenever you come to a church like this. where when you come into difficult situations, whenever a loved one is sick or whenever a loved one passes away, it's great to have the prayer support of brothers and sisters in Christ and to have that support and to know that people are there for you and people care and they want to help you during these times. So be sure to be praying for Mona's niece. Be sure to be praying for Betty's great-grandson, Gage, as he's been through a lot here lately too, and he still has a long road to go down. But why don't we right now bow our heads and pray and take a lot of these things to the Lord and to be thanking Him for what we have in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you are so great, and we thank you that you love us and that we can bring all of our cares and all of our burdens before you in prayer. And right now we do lift up Mona's niece. We do thank you that it seems as if they've gotten the cancer, and we do thank you that you have answered prayer in that regard. And we do pray even for the financial needs there and for the continued health and family needs. But we do thank you that we can just trust you with this. And I do pray that you'd help Mona and the rest of the family too, as it hasn't been an easy time for them. And we do pray for little Gage, Betty's great-grandson. I do pray that you'd help him in a special way and help the family, help Betty. And I'm sure there are many other requests too that we could mention, many needs. And even think now of John Knox's sister, as she recently had cancer surgery as well. And just many things that we can pray for. But we thank you that you know about all of these things and that you care about all these things. And that as we pray, we know that you will answer our prayers. Maybe not exactly as we would desire, but we know that we can trust you with these things and that your will is perfect. So we do thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning, this time where we can gather together as a group of believers and worship you, and to sing songs of praise, and to worship you in giving, and to be challenged by the Word. But I pray that this wouldn't be the only time that we'd worship. I pray that each and every day, each and every moment of our life, we would be worshiping you by the things we do and by the things that we say, that we'd be constantly seeking to please you and to glorify you. So I do pray that you'd help us with that. We even do look forward to our VBS this coming week. I pray that you'd work in a great way, that many children would come, and that those children that do come, that they would hear the gospel, and that we'd see children get saved, and that we'd see children grow in their faith with the Lord Jesus, and that even families would be added to the church as a result of this, so that more men and women, more boys and girls, can know you on a personal basis, and that they can grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I do pray for the teachers and for the helpers, and do thank you for how you are working in this time, and pray that your name would be lifted up in a great way. So we do thank you for our fathers this morning too, as this is Father's Day, and we realize it's not just today that we're thankful for our fathers, it's every day. But we do thank you for our fathers, for the godly men that have had an impact in our lives. And I even do thank you right now for my own dad. And I thank you for the godly example and the many teachings from the Word of God that he has had a role in throughout my life. So we do thank you for all these things. I pray that this morning, this evening, the rest of this week, the rest of our lives, that you'd be glorified and lifted up in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we start singing this morning, we want to introduce you to a little friend that'll be around. Hi, Joe. A little friend that'll be around this week, and so we'll let you meet him now.
Welcome to Polar Extremes! I'm Popsicle, and as you can see, I'm a penguin. Whew! Boy, oh boy, is it hot in here, or is it just me? We penguins like the cold, extreme cold. So somebody had better turn up the air conditioning, because I'm burning up in here. Have you ever heard the word extreme before? It's another way of saying the greatest, the ultimate. We're going to learn all about extremes this week, and no one is more extreme than God. I was made for extreme conditions, extreme cold conditions. The place where I live is one of the coldest places on the planet. It's too cold for people, but for penguins, it's just perfect. Not like this place. You guys like things too warm. This place feels like a giant oven. You see, God gave me several layers of special feathers that help keep me warm in the cold. It's kind of like wearing two big coats all the time, only I can't take them off. I also have something very special under my feathers called blubber. It's just what I need to keep cozy in the extreme cold. You can do some extreme things too, with God's help. God is able to take ordinary people like you and transform your lives to the extreme. So let's get ready to go to a place where the snow is deep, the wind is fierce, and adventure waits behind every snowball. Get ready for Polar Extremes!
All right. You take your hymnals this morning and turn to hymn number 279. I want to say thank you to everybody already who has helped in setting things up and getting things ready. There's a lot of work that has gone into setting up for Vacation Bible School, and of course a lot of work will be going in this next week, so we appreciate your help already, and we want to say thank you to you. So 279, Faith of Our Fathers. We'll stand together as we sing. Hymn number 535, A Christian Home. And that was our opportunity to worship the Lord and giving back to Him just a portion of what He has given to us. Shall we bow together? Our most gracious God and Father, we do thank You for the day that You have given to us. And our Father, we thank You for the supply of every need that we have, far and away, abundant above everything that we could ever even ask for. And Father, we ask that You will help us to have a desire to give back to You just a small portion of what You've given to us. And Father, that these funds and this time will be used to honor and glorify You. It's in Your Son's name that we do pray. Amen. It's hymn number 349, Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey. We'll dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. We're going to sing the first, second, fourth, and fifth, so we will omit the third stanza this morning. First, second, fourth, and fifth. Now,
when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no
Now, turn over to hymn number 479. 479. Onward, Christian soldiers. We'll stand together as we sing. Sometimes I forget I'm supposed to have you stand there. Onward, Christian soldiers. My arm was so tired from spray painting. Wow. Did me in there.
Amen. Thank you, Verva and Cassie. Thank you, Dan, for leading the songs. And thank you all for singing. And what a good time it is. One more thing that I want to mention before we go into our sermon this morning. I have a thank you note from the Adamson family. I would like to read this to you. It says, "The family of Mark Adamson wish to thank you for your kind expression of sympathy. Dear pastor and church family, we want to thank you for the great support you have given us the last couple of weeks. The food, cards, and most of all, your prayers have been such an encouragement. Thanks for the delicious luncheon you provided after the funeral. Our grandchildren particularly like the wide variety of desserts. Please continue to pray for us. There are still many rough days ahead. Love in Christ, Bob, Sandy, and family." So continue to pray for the Adamson family. It's a difficult time for them. But yet we can, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can lift them up in our prayers. We can encourage them with our words and with our actions. So definitely be praying for them. But they do sincerely appreciate what we've done as a church for them. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for saving us. For those who have believed on Jesus Christ, we do thank you for the privilege that we have of encouraging one another, of praying for one another, for building up one another in the faith. We even do pray for the Adamson family today, that you'd be with them in a special way, that you'd comfort their hearts. And even now as we look into your word, I pray that you'd use it in a great way, that you'd encourage and challenge the fathers this morning, that you would encourage and challenge all of us. And I pray most of all that your name would be lifted high this morning, that you'd be glorified, that you'd receive all the glory and the praise. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is Father's Day. It's a special day that comes around once a year, and I think all of us realize the important place that fathers have in our lives. And we set this Sunday aside as a special day where we recognize fathers especially. But I think all of us realize that Father's Day shouldn't come around just once a year. Truly, every day should be a day that we appreciate our fathers. And maybe we'll be taking our fathers out for supper or out for lunch or whatever the case may be. Or perhaps our fathers have passed away by now. But whatever the case, we do realize that there are many men in our lives that are special, that play an important role in our lives. And I do pray that if you are a father here this morning, that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you're able to be a godly and a spiritual example to your children and to others around you. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, I pray that even this morning that you may have the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the most important gift that you can give to your children, to your families, is by telling them that, yes, I am a born-again believer and I want to help you grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. But I have so many good memories of my dad. When I was growing up, I was privileged to live in a home where both of my parents knew the Lord. Both of my parents were saved and they were living for the Lord. My dad was a pastor. And being in a pastor's home, sometimes you may think, well, that would be a tough thing. But personally for me, it was a great privilege for me. I was able to be in a home where both of my parents loved the Lord. Where both of my parents wanted me to know the Lord, wanted me to grow in my walk with the Lord. And I was able to go to church basically any time the door was open. And you know, that was a great blessing in my life. I got to see my dad, who was a godly father. I got to see how he interacted with my mom. And my mom was a godly woman as well. And it was such a blessing for me to see how my dad loved my mom, how he took care of her. My dad was a hard worker, and he provided for us as kids. And he provided for us as a family. And he was a spiritual leader in the house, and a spiritual leader in the church. And my mom also loved my dad, and she willingly submitted to my dad's authority and to his leadership. And I couldn't have asked for a better home to have grown up in. It was from my dad that I acquired many interests. My dad enjoyed science, and I picked that up from him. His love for science, especially for chemistry and for astronomy. My dad encouraged me to take Spanish in high school. That's something that originally I wasn't interested in. I didn't want to take any foreign language, but my dad encouraged me. Go ahead and take Spanish, you know. And, you know, I did take Spanish, and that was a blessing in my life as well, learning Spanish. And I took 4 years of Spanish in high school. My dad had an interest in languages, and he had a love for books. And my dad has a big library. And if you look to my office, you can tell that I picked that up from my dad as well. A love for books. I worked in a library for many years too, you know, books are a fun thing as long as you read them discerningly. But of course, this is the ultimate book, isn't it? And this is a book that we have to study and that we have to love because it tells us about the God who has loved us. There's so much I can be thankful for this morning. I thank God that He did give me a godly father. I thank God for that privilege of living and growing up in a godly home and for being able to spend so much time in a godly and a Bible-believing church. And it was my parents who led me to the Lord whenever I was just a child. My parents who showed me what it meant to be saved and to have eternal life. Yes, I love my mom and I love my dad dearly. And probably, as a child, I probably don't call them up enough. I probably don't visit them enough. But yet I do love them, and I am planning on giving my dad a call and saying Happy Father's Day and just being able to visit with him and just have a good talk with him. And there's many fathers here this morning. I hope that each of you this morning who is a father have many who love you and many who appreciate you. And it makes you feel good whenever you know that people care about you. But I think that if you are a father this morning, you could say that you are less concerned with others loving you, less concerned about receiving that love, than you are about giving out the love. A good father is a father who knows how to sacrifice. And I can say that from my own experience with looking at my dad. And as a father, I'm sure that you know all about sacrifice, what it is to give, and then to give, and then to give some more. To give without expecting anything in return. But there are times in a father's life when he has no other option than to receive things in his own life, to receive things from others. Now, dads can do almost anything on their own, and most dads probably don't want to go and ask somebody for help. But sometimes, dads have to go and ask for help. Dads do have limits. Dads aren't invincible. They aren't self-sufficient. They aren't immortal superheroes. Okay? Yeah, we'd like to think that our dad is Superman, but that's not the case. Dads are human, and they have needs that must be met beyond themselves. And sometimes dads have to ask other men or other women for help. Sometimes they have needs, and it's not just sometimes. There are times when dads have needs that no one but God Himself can meet. That's true of dads, that's true of moms, that's true of every single person here this morning. Every person in the world has needs that only God can meet. So this morning we're going to continue our journey through the book of John. And you can turn with me to John chapter 4. Because as we go to John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54, we come across a father who has a need. He has a heavy burden on his heart, and he realizes that he has to go to Jesus with that need. And this father thinks that perchance Jesus would be able to solve that problem, that Jesus could make things right. Turn with me to John chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 43 through 54. John chapter 4, and we'll be looking at this morning verses 43 through 54. And it says here, "Now after the 2 days he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. For when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' The nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your son lives.' So the man believed in the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus had said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee." So if you remember with me, as we've been looking through John chapter 4, we remember the first part of the chapter, Jesus was on a journey. He was on a journey from the southern part of Israel, which is called Judea. He was going to Galilee, which is in the northern part of Israel. And he went right through the area of Samaria. And on that journey, he stopped in a city called Sychar. And he stopped there at the well, and he had the opportunity to talk with a Samaritan woman there at the well, and to share with her how she could have that living water that would quench her spiritual need. And many people there in Samaria believed because of the words of Jesus Christ, because of his testimony, and because of the gospel that he shared with them. And the Samaritans asked Jesus to stay there for 2 days. And Jesus willingly stayed with them for 2 days and told them concerning the things of God. So as we come to our passage this morning, we come to verse 43. And Jesus leaves that city of Sychar in Samaria after he spent those 2 days with the Samaritans, and he resumes his journey to Galilee. And we read the testimony of Jesus there in verse 44. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Now we think of Jesus when he was there in Samaria. What type of a response did Jesus have? Jesus was there with the Samaritans, a group that usually had tensions with the Jews. But Jesus, he wasn't hindered by any racial prejudice. Jesus witnessed to that Samaritan woman. And he witnessed to many others. And the Samaritans, how did they respond? They didn't drive him out. The Samaritans listened to what Jesus had to say. And many were saved, and they asked him to even stay for 2 days. They practically begged him to stay there and to teach him and to teach them. And they recognized that Jesus was the Savior of the world. But even though they responded in such a great way, and there was such a great harvest of spiritual fruit, Jesus didn't stay in Samaria for very long. He had to continue on his journey. And after those 2 days expired, what did Jesus do? He continued his journey northward to Galilee. And Jesus knew that he wouldn't receive a welcome there in Galilee like he had received there in Samaria. He knew that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And we ask ourselves the question, well, where was Jesus' own country? Where was his hometown? Where was his homeland? Where was Jesus brought up? And it was in the city of Nazareth. It was in Galilee. And we could go to the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we can see whenever Jesus went to Nazareth, the people of Nazareth did not accept him. Even as a prophet sent from God, they definitely did not accept him as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They didn't honor him in his own hometown. But as we look at verse 45 here in John chapter 4, it seems as if there's some type of an exception to this rule. It seems as if that Jesus is going to be treated differently as he enters Galilee. We read in verse 45, "So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast." So Jesus arrives in Galilee. He arrives in Galilee after traveling through Samaria. And what happens? The Galileans received him. But the question is, why did the Galileans receive Jesus? Why did they receive him? Did they recognize him as someone sent from God? Did they recognize him as the Savior of the world, as the Son of God? Did they therefore honor him and respect him because they realized who he truly was? And the answer to that question is no. They didn't hail him as the Savior of the world, as the Samaritans had. What do we read here? They received him because they had seen the things that he had done at the feast whenever he was in Jerusalem. We go back to John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Just flip back a few chapters with me. And we read here in John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in man. Okay, so Jesus knew that these people in Jerusalem, yes, they had seen his great signs and they had believed, quote unquote, in a certain way, but it wasn't a true and genuine faith. It was only a superficial faith based upon the things that they had seen Jesus do. But they hadn't truly believed in him. And Jesus knew that. He didn't entrust himself to them because he knew that they hadn't truly accepted him as Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God who can save them from their sins. It was a superficial belief. So now we find Jesus north in Galilee, but some of those people in Galilee had been down there in the feast celebrating the Passover. And some of these people knew about Jesus and what he had done. So they were eager to accept Jesus in. They were saying, "Yes, Jesus, come. We're glad to have you." Not because he was the Savior of the world, but because they wanted to see some more great miracles, just like they had seen down in Jerusalem. They had a superficial faith. They accepted him not out of honor, not out of true belief, but because he was a known miracle worker. It was just as if he was kind of someone just that they wanted to go out and see, kind of entertainment. They wanted to see Jesus, but they didn't truly honor him. We read in verse 46, Jesus comes to the city of Cana. You remember what happened in Cana. We go back in John. That's where Jesus made the water and the wine, there in Cana of Galilee. That was his first sign there in Galilee. There in Cana, who was the one that presented him with the problem? It was his own mother, wasn't it? We find here, once again, he's in Cana. And this time it's not a mother who brings him a problem. Who is it? It is a father that brings Jesus a problem. There is a royal official who has a need. We see this man, this nobleman, he has a son in Capernaum. And then his son was sick. And this official hears that Jesus is in Galilee. And the nobleman knew that Jesus could do miracles, that Jesus could do great things. And this nobleman was at the end of his rope. He didn't know what else to do except to go to Jesus. And perhaps Jesus could heal his son and give him life. It was a dire situation. His son was about to die. If you're a father this morning, even if you're a mother, you can put yourself in the sandals of this nobleman. What would you do if you were on the verge of losing your own son? What would you do? You would go to any extent, wouldn't you, to make sure that your son could live, that your son could be brought back to health. You would do everything in your power to save him. You would try any treatment. You'd take him to any hospital, to any doctor, in the hopes that he could be better, that he could be made physically whole again. And that is where this father is at. He wants his son to be well. He doesn't want him to die. And so he goes to Jesus, the one who could solve his problem. Jesus was known for his supernatural powers, his ability to do those signs and those wonders. And Jesus, and this man thought, if anybody can help my son, Jesus can help him. So this royal official goes down to Cana, and he begs Jesus. He begs Jesus to come up to the, and it would be about a 13-mile journey from Cana to Capernaum, and he begs Jesus to come along with him on that 13-mile journey to Capernaum, to where his son is on the verge of death, so that Jesus can make him whole again, physically whole, and heal him. How does Jesus respond? We read it there in verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." And it seems here that's kind of harsh, doesn't it? It kind of seems harsh to our ears, thinking that Jesus would respond in that way. But we must keep in mind, he's not responding just to the nobleman. He's responding to the entire group of Galileans. Because the word "you" there is plural. He's referring to the whole group of people. He's saying to those Galileans in general, unless you see signs and wonders. You remember there in chapter 2, they had seen the signs and the wonders. That's what they were looking for. That's what their faith and their belief was based on, was what they had seen. It was not a faith that Jesus had been sent from God. It was not a faith that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Their faith was not a genuine faith. It was only based upon the signs and the wonders. We see here, as we look at the Galileans and we look at the Samaritans, there's a huge difference. How did the Samaritans respond? They weren't enthralled by Jesus' signs and His wonders. By what we know, Jesus didn't do any wonders or signs there in Samaria. But yet the Samaritans listened to Jesus' words and they believed and they trusted Jesus. They saw that He was someone special, sent from God, that He was the Savior of the world. They didn't believe because of supernatural signs. They believed because of the words that He spoke. But yet the Galileans didn't have that faith. They didn't really listen to what Jesus had to say. But the nobleman, he's still in that desperate situation. His son is about to die. He cries out to Jesus, "Sir, come down before my child dies." His interest wasn't in seeing some great sign just for the sake of a sign. His interest, his concern, was that his son would live. That's all that he cared about right now. You can see how heart-wrenching that would be for this father, because it wasn't as if his son was a grown man. His son was just a child. His son had barely experienced life at all. And so we read what Jesus does in verse 50. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. So Jesus doesn't do what the nobleman asked. He doesn't go with them to Capernaum on that 13-mile journey. All that Jesus does is speak the words, "Go your way, your son lives." If anyone was looking for a great sign or wonder, they weren't going to see it there. And the man didn't have to see Jesus do a wonder before his eyes. No, the nobleman took Jesus at His word. He believed just like the Samaritans, I believe. Just like the Samaritans took Jesus at His word, this nobleman broke the mold of the Galileans as a whole. And the nobleman believed Jesus at His word. He didn't have to see a great sign. And the father wasn't disappointed. He started on his way back to Capernaum. He didn't have to see to believe. He took Jesus at His word. And what happens on the way back? He's met halfway on the journey. While he's on the way, he meets his servants. And can you imagine what his father was thinking as his servants came to meet him? But yet, what does he hear from those servants? It's good news. Your son lives. And can you imagine his joy, his happiness, his relief? As his father finds out that his son is going to live, he is doing well. And what that man had believed by listening to Jesus based upon His word, he believed His word, Jesus' word, and it was attested as true by the servant's words. So this nobleman was on the top of the world. But what does he do? Does he forget about Jesus now? No. He's curious. He wants to find out. "When did my son get better?" So he asks his servants, "When did my son get better?" And they tell him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour is when the fever left him." And it was at that same hour, yesterday at the seventh hour, when Jesus spoke the word, "Your son lives." So the nobleman knew that this wasn't just a coincidence. This wasn't just some freak chance of nature. No, this was something that only God could do. This was because of Jesus. And what he had said had come true. Before, the father had only heard, he had only heard that Jesus could do great things. But now, the father not only knew that Jesus could do great things, it wasn't just a mental knowledge, but this nobleman had a heart belief. Now, it doesn't tell us here in John chapter 4 the extent of his belief, but I think that this nobleman had a genuine and a true belief in Jesus Christ as his Savior. I think it was a belief to the salvation of his soul. And it tells us here, even more wonderful than the father's belief, was that his whole household trusted in Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the father, it was the whole family. We find the end of this passage in verse 54. This was the second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Jesus had done other miracles in his ministry. He had done other things down in Jerusalem, but this was the second thing that he had done as far as a miraculous sign in Galilee. The first he did after his mother had made a request. The second was at the request of a father. But as we look at this passage, we're going to draw some things out, as we already have. But Jesus Christ is magnified in the greatest of ways in this passage. Jesus Christ is great. He can do wonderful works. He has done them in the past. He's doing them right now in the present. He will do them in the future. But we don't worship Jesus Christ just because of His great power. That's not the only reason why we worship Jesus, is because He can do miracles. That's not why we worship Jesus. Those who follow Jesus simply because of the miracles that He does are not following Jesus for the right reasons. We follow Jesus because we have believed in Him, because we have put our trust in Him. We trust in His words. We trust in His greatest work, and that is His death on the cross. And He didn't stay dead. He rose again that third day. He took my death penalty. He took your death penalty on that cross. And He rose victorious over the grave. We follow Jesus because we trust in Him as the Savior of the world. We trust in Him as our own personal Savior. As we look at this Father in John chapter 4, we see a wonderful gift that Jesus gave him. And actually, we see two wonderful gifts that Jesus gave him, or even more than that. But this Father was in such a desperate situation. He was at the end of his rope. And he went to Jesus because he had heard that Jesus could help. And this was his last hope. And Jesus gave to the man what he wanted. He restored his son to life. He healed him from his sickness. But Jesus did so much more for this man than simply give his son physical health. Yes, Jesus took this man from a desperate father with a dying son to a joyful father with a son who is healthy. But even more than that, Jesus worked spiritual wonders, eternal wonders in the lives of this father and in the lives of the whole family. Because the father believed, and his whole family believed in Jesus Christ. Not only had Jesus given physical life to that son, but he had given spiritual life to that son and to the whole family. Yes, the father was rightfully concerned about his son and his physical health. He was on the verge of dying. Yes, that was a bad situation. It was a dreadful situation. It was heart-wrenching. And the father was rightfully concerned about his son's health. But the father had no real idea before he met Jesus as far as his own spiritual need and as far as the spiritual needs of his family. And I think that the father, by meeting Jesus, realized that truly the spiritual needs are even greater than any physical need that they may have. The real problem was their lack of faith. And Jesus used this opportunity, yes, to heal the father's son, but more than that, Jesus used this opportunity to bring this father, to bring his whole family into a saving faith, into a saving relationship with himself. What father could ask for anything better than what Jesus gave to him? Yes, the father had asked for physical life for his son, but Jesus gave to him something even better. Jesus gave to him spiritual life. And the whole family could rejoice in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So if you're a father this morning, you may be struggling with one of your children's health. You may be struggling with somebody else who is dear to you as far as their physical condition. You may be a mother or a daughter or a son who is in that same position as far as struggling with physical problems, with people who are on the verge of death. Steve and Priscilla are in that position right now. Priscilla's grandmother is on the verge of death. But we realize that there are things that are far more important than our physical well-being. What is more important than even our physical well-being is if our spiritual condition is right. If we have that second spiritual, if we have that second life, if we have been born again, if we have been born from above, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, have you had that free gift of eternal life? Have you accepted that? We know that people are lost and dying in their sins. We all have people that are dear to our hearts. And we pray for them. We witness to them. Are we a witness this morning to those we love? Let us pray to God and let us rejoice that God is a God who seeks and who saves those who are lost. Let us praise God that He is the one that gives good gifts to those who He gives good gifts to those who don't deserve them in the least amount. Yes, this is Father's Day, and every day we need to be worshiping God. Every day we need to be seeking God. We need to be worshiping God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of our praise and our adoration. And let us worship God, not just for what He does, but because of who He is and what He has told us in His Word. Let us worship Him because He has saved us and He has redeemed us for His own. Let us tell others, let us tell our fathers and our mothers, our brothers and sisters, our sons and our daughters, let us tell what Jesus has done in our lives. Praise the Lord. God doesn't just give us physical life. He gives us what is so much more important. He gives us spiritual life to everyone who believes on Him. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this passage from John. We thank You what You have shown us from this father's life. Yes, he was rightfully concerned for the health of his son, but we thank You that Jesus used that opportunity to show the father that he truly had a need that went beyond just physical matters. He had a need that was spiritual. He needed to be born again. He needed spiritual life. We thank You that his father and his family responded in faith to the words of Jesus. We thank You for that. And I do even pray this morning, if there's a father, if there's a son or a daughter, a mother who does not know Jesus Christ, that even today would be the day that that person would accept Jesus Christ and have eternal life. And that we'd be able to rejoice together in the gift of God, eternal life. So we thank You for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 333. We'll stand together and sing His Way with Thee.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way.
Verse 1 starts out, would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? You know what? We can't do that on our own. There's no way that we can live pure and good before Jesus Christ on our own. It's only as God works in our life that we can be good in God's eyes. It's only because Jesus is good that we are seen as good in God's eyes. And the only way that can be is if we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin. If we accept that gift of salvation, trust that Jesus died on the cross for each one of us, that He was buried, He rose again the third day. If you believe on Him, then you have eternal life, your sins are forgiven. And then we start on a great journey of living for Jesus Christ. Is that where you're at this morning? We want you as a part of Nordville Baptist Church, we want to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. And if there's anything we can do, whether you're a father or a mother, a son or a daughter, we want to help you grow. And hopefully we're encouraging one another in our spiritual walk. Let's go ahead and sing stanza number 3.
Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. Best for Him to have His way with thee.
Father, we ask this morning that You will help us to understand the simplistic truth that it is truly our best for us to allow You to have Your way with us. Father, we realize that even as we've seen from Your word this morning about a father who was seeking the well-being of his son and received so much more simply because he allowed himself to be what You would have him to be. Simply because he was willing to receive more. And Father, the simple truth is that we often don't have what we need because we choose not to have it. We choose not to allow You to have Your way with us. So Father, we ask that You will help us to learn that truth, that we will part from here today with Your blessing upon our lives, realizing that we can have more if we'll simply let You have control of our lives. And it's in Your Son's name that we do pray. Amen.